You're listening to 830 AM KSDP in Sandpoint, Alaska, K201DA in King Cove, Alaska.
Saya Gray is an artist who is constantly in motion, both as a nonstop traveler who rarely stays in one place for long and in her music making. Coming up, Saya Gray talks about her persistent search for new sonic landscapes and about using her songwriting and performance as an extension of herself.
I feel like instruments are just a part of my body parts at this point, you know? Like, I speak better through them than I do, like, trying to talk.
That could be because music was one of her first languages as the daughter of two musicians. Her dad was a jazz player and her mother a music teacher who gave Saya her ambition.
I think, like, my mom is a big part of that. She's, like, you know, very fiery. Anyone who knows her would be like, yes, she's very fiery. She's, like, in her 60s and still working every day.
Saya Gray. Today, I'm Rena Duris, and this is World Cafe. Saya Gray is originally from Canada, just like this song, which was written by Canadian sisters Kate and Anna McGarrigle. Here, it's performed by Emmylou Harris. It's called Going Back to Harlan.
Inside my head.
This is World Cafe. I'm Raina Duris. They say you can't run away from your problems, but sometimes getting away can help you get some perspective on those problems. After going through a breakup, travel-loving songwriter Saya Gray decided to go on a road trip in Japan. It was on that trip that she began writing the songs that became her brand new debut full-length album, Saya. Today, the Toronto-raised Japanese-Canadian artist joins me to talk about why traveling is so important to her creative process. She also talks about her own personal journey growing up as the daughter of two very musical parents, her stint as a music director for Willow Smith, and her ever-evolving sonic ambitions. You'll be able to hear some of that evolution, too, as Saya performs songs from her new album live, plus a track from her first project, 19 Masters. She begins with one from the new album, Saya. This is Saya Gray with Shell of a Man, live for the World Cafe.
Forever hold your peace.
In a live performance for World Cafe, that was Sia Gray with Shell of a Man. It's a song from her new album, Sia. I'm Raina Duras. Sia Gray is my guest today. Sia, welcome to the World Cafe.
Thank you.
It's really cool to have
you
here.
Great to be here.
That performance was beautiful.
Thank you.
I know you've released several EPs before Sia, and you were in the middle of making one of those EPs when you kind of put it aside. You felt like you had to work on this. What was it about making this album that felt so urgent?
I don't know about urgency more than just I felt like it was time just to make a record. You know what I mean? I feel like I've been just like experimenting and putting out the experiments. And this was the time when I was just like, I need to finish songs and see if I can even do that, you know, because I feel like I sample so much. Like I'll make a song, full song, and I'll sample it and put it on like a crazy mixtape. So this is just like a challenge of mine, really, you know?
Yeah. Where was your head at when you started? Why do you think you were in that sort of mindset that you wanted to do that?
I don't know. I feel like I always live where I'm at. Like I live where whatever music I'm making, I'm definitely like in that state of mind, you know? So if it's chaotic, I'm chaotic. If
right.
I'm like calm, I'm calm. And I was trying to calm down, you know, like I went to Japan and California and like traveled all over the world. And I was just, I felt like I wanted to create a record that kind of reflected like a journey and a calmer state of mind, you know?
I'm glad you mentioned the travel because I wanted to ask you about, especially the trip to Japan, but I know you travel a lot.
Yeah.
What does traveling do for you creatively?
Oh my God. I mean, I love not knowing where I am, you know, where to go.
Yeah.
But yeah, this time I was just kind of on a reflection journey throughout winter and Christmas and, and just wrote everything on a tiny little guitar, you know, and then brought it to the studio, which is so the opposite of what I do. You know, I sit down on the computer and I produce everything first. So I had a tiny guitar like this big, and I just like made everything, wrote everything, knowing that I would take it to the studio.
So you wrote it on the road.
Yeah.
That's so
cool. Exactly. That's what it sounds like, it kind of, you know?
Yeah. So when you went to Japan, I think it was 2023. And I mean, I guess the first question is, why did you choose Japan as a place to kind of get away to?
Well, I'm half Japanese, so it's just like kind of, you know, where I feel at home. I also traveled through California, which is also now home. But yeah, no, I absolutely love it there. It's the nature, the trees, the tradition. It was time to go back during Christmas, really.
Were you driving? Did you do like a road trip?
Yeah, like I wasn't alone, and we went through Kanagawa, we went to Kyoto, and... Yeah, everything was in the car, in the bus, in the car.
When you're driving, you have lots of time to listen to music in the car. What were you listening to while you were on this trip?
I mean, I don't really listen to much music now when I'm creating. Yeah, it's kind of the opposite. You know, like I never have referenced anything or I find it almost distracting. Like, because I'm way too sensitive with that. So if I hear something like, if I hear like dog barking, I'll be like, that needs to be in the song, you know? And that's why Corey was what it was and everything, but... This time I really tried to stay like isolated from a lot of influence because I think that's the hardest thing for me is not be influenced. That's why like I'm not online or anything, you know?
Yeah, that's really interesting. It's kind of like you're kind of sealing yourself off in a creative bubble.
Trying to,
as much as you can.
Yeah, it's really hard to.
I'm speaking to Sia Gray today on World Cafe. The next song you're going to play for us is called Thus Is Why I Don't Spring for Love. Could you tell us what the seed of this song was and where it started?
This song has so many different versions, it's insane, but this one was kind of like, it was winter, and you know when you get to that part of the winter when you're like, what was that? You know, like you're like, yesterday felt like January, you know what I mean? And you're kind of reflecting on your year, and you're like, what the hell happened, you know?
Yeah.
Whether it be a relationship or change or even just like kind of nothingness, you know? And that's what that song kind of came from.
I really liked the slide guitar. I felt like it was kind of unexpected when it comes in at the very beginning. What was behind your decision to put that in there?
I felt like I knew what the record would sound like before I started. Like, I feel like I heard it, and I knew I wanted a pedal steel player. I knew the musicians already. I knew the sound of the drums. I knew the textures of the record before I even started. So pedal steel was just something that, like, I felt really connected to. Yeah, it's a very, like, emotional instrument, and I needed to fill the gaps, you know? Like, I don't know how to explain it, but I just, like, I knew what the instrumentation was before I started the record.
Well, let's listen to the live performance. This is Thus Is Why I Don't Spring for Love. It's Sia Gray, live for the World Cafe.
Indigo, where were you when I needed you most? Indigo, where were you when I needed you most? Needed you most. You love me differently. I loved you all the same.
From her album, Sia, that was my guest today, Sia Gray, performing Thus Is Why I Don't Spring for Love, live for the World Cafe. I'm Raina Duris. Sia, you grew up in the same neighborhood that my grandparents live in, the same neighborhood my dad lives in right now, a place I've spent a lot of time, the beaches in Toronto.
Yeah.
It's a pretty quiet place along the shores of Lake Ontario. I think your parents moved you there when you were about 10 years old from Japan. What were your first impressions of Toronto when you got there as a child?
Toronto has changed so much now that my impressions have evolved, I think. It's so much more diverse now. I think I was the only Asian in that entire vicinity when I was growing up, me and my family. Yeah, it's changed so much. It's hard to even have an opinion or even remember to, like, because I feel like my memory has changed. Seeing the changes now. But yeah, you know, because 10 years ago it was like a ghost town almost, and now it's like condos and...
Yeah, I mean, it's grown
exponentially. Yeah.
I know both of your parents were involved in music when you were growing up, but they were both involved in very different ways. Your mom ran a music school, piano teacher, strict. Your dad, touring jazz trumpet player, which is a really interesting contrast. And I was wondering if you could talk about how that combination of those, that contrasting way your parents were involved in music, how that shaped you as a musician yourself.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think the polarity really like shows in the music more than anything else, more than any like specific influence. I think people are like, why do you go from like metal to classical? And that's literally why, because I've had like the full spectrum of genres like implanted in my mind from like from fetushood. So yeah, I think it's really just affected the way that I have no boundary, really.
Yeah, you know, there's nothing like, demarcating.
Yeah,
this
there's
is
no...
rock, this is jazz, this is whatever.
Yeah, yeah, or like I was raised in a jazz household and I do jazz. Like there was none of that. It was like every reality was possible, you know, because I saw everything happen. My brother was really into rock and metal, and then my dad was playing R&B jazz, and my mom like is strictly classical, you know. So it's just like, yeah, full range was available to me, which was really lucky, actually, now that I look back.
What was the first instrument you picked up? Do you remember?
I think it was trumpet, or piano was my main, and then trombone and trumpet.
Yeah.
And then cello and some other things. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I've just like bounced around. I wouldn't say anything is like my main instrument. I made money on bass for a while, but I don't know. I wouldn't say any of them are like my main instrument. I still love piano. Yeah, I don't know. But trumpet, I think, was like something I played a lot when I was a kid.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, with the bass, I know that you got a lot of attention when you posted a YouTube cover of Michael Jackson playing bass. And you play bass in one of the performances we're hearing today. Could you talk about your relationship with your instrument when you're playing on stage and you're performing? What does it feel like? How do you connect to it?
I feel like it's just another extension of my arm.
Yeah?
Yeah, at this point. It's kind of like it doesn't matter what it is. That's why I've been actually putting the bass down now, because I'm like, okay, I'm so used to it that I want to connect more with the audience or just like a different aspect of performance, you know? But that being said, who knows? I might make like a jazz record next, you know? Like, and then be like super connected with upright or, yeah, a totally new instrument. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like instruments are just a part of my body parts at this point, you know? Like I speak better through them than I do like trying to talk.
I'm talking with Saya Gray today about her new album, but years ago she was the music director for Willow Smith, and she'll talk about that job after the break here on World Cafe. Welcome back to the World Cafe. I'm Rena Duris. My guest today is Saya Gray, whose brand new debut full-length album is called Saya. So for a while, in your late teens, early 20s, you were a musical director for other artists. What does that mean? What does being a musical director or a creative director for someone else entail?
I mean, it's crazy. You have to look at the artist's discography or whatever they're playing, whatever their set list is, and create transitions and create a dynamic band-wise, which is more than just musicianship. It's like personality and temperament and sometimes even like a look, you know what I mean? They want diversity, just like age, you know, like everything kind of comes into play. It helped me now, but I don't think I even thought about it. A lot of everything I've done has kind of just been like a natural transition to what I was just like naturally leaning or good at. Whereas now I realize how much it helps me make my own set list, you know, or in like my own shows, because I've been doing it for so long that now it's kind of natural to do my own.
Yeah.
Which I think is rare. Usually, I think people expect a musical director when, like, they come in and it's just me. You know what I mean? Again,
that is so,
doing
like,
whatever.
To be able to have a vision, I guess, and to be able to articulate that and, like, execute it.
Yeah.
What do you think about when you are putting a show together?
I mean, yeah, like, moments, I guess. Just, like, highlighting the moments of whatever. I mean, if it's me, then where do I want to connect most with the audience, you know? And where do I want to create, like, tension or release or just, like, get everybody hype, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, what moments do you want to hit? And then try your best to hit them.
I'm speaking with Saya Gray on World Cafe. We're going to hear another live song now. You're going to perform a song from your 2022 release, 19 Masters. And I should say, you know, you're calling this new album your debut full-length album, Saya. But 19 Masters had 19 songs on it. It's like an album-length project. How does it fit into your discography and your story?
I mean, I would say that's just like my first experience. Some of those songs are literally from when I was 13, 14. Like Seedless Fruit is something I made when I was like, I'm not kidding, 14. And it's all voice notes. And I was like, well, I think this should just go on because, yeah. And there's like a lot of controversial stuff behind the scenes with 19 Masters too that like I don't even talk about. But yeah, there's a reason why it was 19. There's a reason why I put Masters because, you know, like the environment of how we put out music now, songs are called Masters on your record deal. And yeah, I don't know. I think 19 Masters is just an amazing, like, kind of like, that's how weird it gets in my world. You know what I mean? And I just wanted to be like, all right, well, this is what it is without any filters, without any kind of like editing or anything. Like, what does a demo sound like? Completely stripped. Because a lot of those songs I had actually fully made with other producers or fully made with people. And I just went back to the demo version. And I think that probably pissed off a lot of people too. Because I was like, you can do it by yourself, you know? And like, I have the ability to create demos, but I have the ability to take demos further, you know what I mean? But that was like that's like everything stripped back, you know? So now everything else, I don't know. I'm a firm believer of being like completely authentic and showing that first.
What's it like to go back and play songs from a project like that now?
It sounds so bad to me now.
Really?
I'm like, what? Because I've learned so much. I didn't know anything then, you know? Yeah. I was doing everything on voice notes. I was using like GarageBand. A lot of the guitars I played, everything on that are probably like $2 guitars that you'd find at a dollar store. Like literally, like it's just like stuff that was laying around or on tour. A lot of it was on tour as well in hotel rooms. Yeah, and it was kind of just like a way to get back at a lot of the kind of, yeah, crazy stuff that happened in my life. And it was a way to like take control again over my own art versus people trying to, you know, conform me or actually like literally stop me from making music.
Yeah. Was that something that happened a lot for you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like how?
I mean, I think every new artist or female producer or musician probably deals with this, but like, yeah, people are in your ear. You get moved around a lot, you know, so it's really hard to stay focused on what you want to do, you know, and you'll be convinced your opinion is not the right opinion, you know, so you have to stay true, which sounds so cliche, but you really do. You have to know what it is that you want to do and do it.
Yeah.
Whether someone's telling you you can or not.
Do you feel like you have that focus now?
Oh, yeah, totally. Actually, too much. Now I'm like such like a little bull, but yeah, I think it's important now to have a balance, but I'm glad that 19 Masters came out because it wasn't going to.
The song that you're playing from 19 Masters is If There Is No Seat in the Sky, Will You Forgive Me? Why did you choose this song to play?
That's just my favorite one on the record. Yeah, it's the one that like I made and I was like, oh, I have to make music. Like I have to put out a record, you know? Everything else is kind of like, meh. I'll put something together. But that song I made and I was like, ah, this needs to come out.
Let's hear it. If There's No Seat in the Sky, Will You Forgive Me? Saya Gray, live for the World Cafe.
This is my life. This is the last chance for you. image of your enemy, a reflection of a friend, a temporary lover.
Saya Gray performing If There's No Seat in the Sky, Will You Forgive Me? From her 2022 project, 19 Masters. That was live for the World Cafe. I'm Rena Duris, hanging out with Saya Gray today, who has a new album called Saya. And one thing I love about your music is that it is unpredictable, even on this album, where it might have a more conventional song structure. It still feels unconventional. Mm. I don't really know what's coming next. You'll do things that surprise me. Could you talk about how your songs come together, what it looks like when you're in the studio making them?
Mm. I think usually it starts with just me, like literally in a room with an MPC or guitar. This record was a little bit different because I just had like a little guitar and I wrote everything, voice noted them, and brought them to the band. And then we finished them in the studio, which is like the most strange thing I've ever done. Whereas usually I'll just start producing, and then I'll sample old songs, I'll sample vocals that aren't even on the song, like I'll pitch things, I'll vary speed things. So usually it starts with me, but this time it was just me and a little guitar, which is awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like when you listen through your whole discography, you are somebody who reinvents yourself or your sound in different ways. And we talked earlier about traveling and kind of being in constant motion.
Yeah.
But you're also kind of sonically in constant motion. Where do you think that urge to like never stop comes from?
I don't know. Some people just have something in them. I think like my mom is a big part of that. She's like, you know, very fiery. Anyone who knows her would be like, yes, she's very fiery. She's like in her 60s and still working every day, you know?
Yeah.
I think it definitely comes from her side of the family, for sure. Fire. That Japanese fire.
I'm always interested when artists who've released a few projects already name their new release with their own name. They give it their own name. So this one being called Saya, it feels significant. Why did you want to name it Saya? Why was this the one you wanted to name Saya?
I think it was just time. Yeah, Saya means clarity. And so I felt like this was the time that I reached clarity. And yeah, it's like my most vulnerable state. Everything else has been like very like behind the scenes. Everything's been like very producer led, you know? And this is the first time I was like, no, I'm going to write full songs about what's happening right now and make a full spectrum record about it and everything I've gone through and kind of put it all out there, you know?
Yeah.
So it just felt appropriate.
The last song we're going to hear you perform today is Lie Down. What can you tell us about Lie Down before we hear it?
Lie Down, that just came from really like my relationship with the online world, you know, and how like Instagram has kind of become like the modern day gravestone. And yeah, I don't know. I have a hard relationship with the online algorithm and like where it's taking us and how it's changing our minds and the younger generation. So I made Lie Down, and it was kind of like it was a little like goodbye to my own relationship with it, really, acceptance.
Yeah. Why did you decide to quit social media?
I just don't, I mean, I have it, but my manager runs it.
Yeah.
And because I know that otherwise no one will know when anything's happening, you know what I mean? But yeah, I don't like seeing what everyone's doing all the time. And I know it sounds like crazy and negative, but it's honestly like, I don't think it's natural to see what every single person in the entire world is doing that's relevant to what you're doing or seeing or eating or talking about or, you know what I mean? Like, it's just crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it's healthy.
Yeah, our brains haven't developed as fast as, like, social media has.
Yeah, it's wild. So I think I'm a healthier and happier person when I'm just off of it.
Something to think about. Something I'm really thinking about right now.
Yeah.
Well, let's listen to your live performance of Lie Down. This is Saya Gray on World Cafe.
One, two, three.
On World Cafe, that was Saya Gray with a live performance of Lie Down. It's a song from her latest album, Saya. Saya Gray has been my guest today. Thank you so much for being here. I really enjoyed this.
Thank you for having us.
I'm Raina Duras, back in a moment with more World Cafe.
Thank you.
Before the break here on World Cafe, you heard from a new artist called Saya Gray. You can watch that session and that performance on video at worldcafe.org or subscribe to our YouTube channel if you like. It's youtube.com/worldcafe. We've been doing a ton of video over the last year, so if you hear something you like, chances are you can see it there too. Here's Fiona Apple, Shadow Boxer.
Once my lover, now my friend. What a cruel thing to pretend. What a cunning way to condescend. Once my lover, but now my friend. Oh, you creep up like the cloud, and you set my soul at ease. Then you let your love abound, and you bring me to my knees. Oh, it's evil, babe. Let your grace enrapture me. But well, you know I'd be insane to ever let that dirty game recapture me. Maybe a shadow box the bait. I was on
This program was brought to you by Jim and Shirley Brown's Apartments, located in Sandpoint above Trident Seafoods and the Boat Harbor, featuring two-bedroom apartments on a month-to-month basis. For more information, call Jim Brown at 386-6050.
What am I gonna do for loving, honey, when you go away? Where am I gonna find the sunshine on a blue and rainy day? Who am I gonna kiss at night time when the moon is up above? What am I gonna do for loving when I've got no one to love?